Good morning, Jericho Road Church. Pastor Sam Thompson here. Glad you guys are with us. We're going to begin our day with our shout like we normally do. So we're going to shout our shout outs. Kids, if you're at home, I want you to outshout your parents. Parents, go ahead and try to outshout those kids. Ready? What do we do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Never has a shout out so directly introed the message. As we're on our second week of talking about our church's mission statement, our purpose, our mission possible. Sometimes we'll say it's LGLO, love God and love others. When I was in eighth grade, I was switching friends groups. And as you guys know, when you're in junior high, friends groups are everything. I had a group that wasn't so good. And then I was trying to connect with some nerds. And on the outset of that, we were in the DC trip. Our school allowed us to go to Washington, D.C., and I was trying to get in with this new friend group, talk to them, and one time on the bus, it had been a few days, I'd really like these guys, I was hoping they'd become my friends, and on the bus, I said, hey guys, what does our group want to do today? And then one of the guys in the group, this kid named Tommy, he says, what do you mean, our group? And I laughed out loud, but really I cried inside. Oh, and I was actually really hurt because, like us all, I wanted to be loved by my friends. Because love's essential. Yes, first from God and to God, but it's also essential for us to love others. Remember the guy that asked Jesus about this? He says in Matthew, chapter 22, Matthew records this, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Then Jesus replies to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Like I get to share on the back half of this verse, the second best topic to talk about. Pastor Jimmy got to talk about the first last week, loving God. And that was powerful. Thanks, Pastor Jimmy. But I'm really good with this topic, love others. In case you're worried that this is awfully similar to the connect with people sermon 2 weeks ago, it is a bit, but in that sermon we talked about encouraging and connecting and making effort and using gifts, those kind of stuff. But I intentionally saved the best part for this week, knowing that I would get to share with you guys about loving others. Every now and again, we got to take a step back as a church and as persons to regain our perspective. That's why we're doing this series, to realign to the big picture, to remind ourselves what the heck we're doing. Our mission statement as a church is really simple, but that's the beauty of it. Following God is not that complicated. Of all he asks, loving others is top priority. It's his command. But what a really fun command. In John, Jesus says this, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command, love each other. So if you want to follow God's commands, and I believe you do, church, you must do this command to love others. It can't be boiled down any simpler than that, at least in the understanding part. It's the implementing that's the problem. That's why we have to constantly remind ourselves of what God wants. But what a fun command this is. I mean, God wants us to give and receive more love. Yes, please. Sometimes the Bible's commands can seem overwhelming and difficult, or sometimes I know they're good for me, but they don't seem that fun. Maybe there's too many commands. That's why today's so great. That's what's so great about our reminder today, that we need to major in the majors. LGLO, love God and love others. Loving others needs to be our number two priority in life, behind only loving God. It's so important that Paul made a list of the greatest things you could do as a Christian, and all of them overwhelmingly paled in comparison to love. Check it out in 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and the angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, then I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even satisfied my body, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, then I would have gained nothing. These verses highlight the incredible importance God puts on loving one another. It says things like knowing natural and supernatural languages are just noise without love. Being able to tell God's word, actually speaking on his behalf as a prophet, and knowing all the mysteries of the Bible and every intricacy of theology, and being able to implement those to do the miraculous would be nothing if it was without love. Going on missions and giving up my career and my family and my money for God, and then I die on the missions field as a martyr for him, that would be empty in God's eyes without love. Every good Christian aspiration, deed, work, discipline is useless without the undergirding of love. With no love, the actions of believers and Christianity itself is meaningless. Would you wait? Just wait for a moment right there on this one. Is this true? Does your soul accept this verse? That all the trappings of Christianity are useless or nonsense without love? GRC, you are dutiful. You follow Jesus well. You do the right things almost always. But could something undermine all of that? A lack of love would render all of it empty and useless. Now, if that's true, I got to take a minute here. I have to look inside me. Am I pastoring this church because I'm a pastor by profession? Or because I love you? Do I text you and pray for you daily, weekly because it's my job? Because it's my duty? I better not. Look, I believe honestly it's because I love you. And it's okay. It's more than okay for me to love you. It's actually good for me to love you. And you know what? It's okay if you love me too. And it is godly for you to come to Jericho Road Church because you love one another. See, love is the key. In the same Corinthians passage, Paul gives us a picture of how love for others looks. Like a taste of the flavor of the love in action. He continues on to say this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstances. As I read this, I realize that loving others is all on my side of the fence. See, those descriptions of love are the to-dos in my heart. So it's not contingent on them deserving it, on them earning it or buying it or even needing it. That's why I can love my enemies, because it's not based on them. It comes from me, and my love comes from He. When I'm looking at that passage here about the love part, I see it in two categories of what love looks like in this passage. I see categories of adds and categories of subtracts. Here are some of the adds of love that I'm looking at in that passage. Love is patient. Oh man, that is so needed in our homes today. Yeah? Now, I don't know about you, but with this quarantine stuff, staying home all day with my kids around, Pastor Jimmy mentioned we have 8 in our household. Man, it's pretty crazy. And so I really need to demonstrate love by being patient. But not only that, maybe at work or on the freeway or with our friends, my willingness to be patient shows love. The next thing I see here is love is kind. This goes far in building and maintaining love, being kind. It's a key attribute if you want to connect to people and allow them to feel and sense that you love them. It says here that love rejoices in the truth. So love is honest and it's real. And then again, it says it never gives up or loses faith. It keeps going even when the odds are stacked against it. Even when things are difficult, it perseveres. It again says it's always hopeful. There's a nice add of the word always there. It's not just hopeful, it's always hopeful. Because my hope resides in Jesus, I can always be hopeful. And it says, at the end here, it says, love endures. It doesn't bail at the first sign of trouble or difficulty. It outlasts. So those are some of the adds of love, some of the subtracts. And they're pretty ugly ones. It says, love's not jealous. Jealous meaning like negatively wanting what other people have. Love's not boastful. Boastful is just self-promotion. Trying to make myself look good by putting other people down. Love's not proud. Proud is a self-first attitude. It's not rude. What a love killer, being rude. How fast does that start a fight in marriage? Kids, look at your parents and see if they're nodding right now. Teens, young adults, if you want to ruin your marriage, be rude. That's the number one way. In our marriages, it's almost not always about what we say, it's about how we say it. I come in, if I'm rude to my wife, speak to her in a negative tone, that is not going to go well. And so rude is a love killer, so the Bible says, avoid it. Don't be rude. Love doesn't demand your own way. Being selfish, Jesus talks about this multiple times. Love's not irritable. Oh man, that means, like I get irritable sometimes. That means like every time I do that, I'm not following the command of God to love. Now I need to fix that. Irritable means like nothing's ever good enough. Maybe always looking for something to complain about. Having that sour attitude. Love doesn't record wrongs. Go ahead and lets that right of mine go. Because in life, it's not a win-loss game, love. If you've forgiven someone, then you got to let it go. You don't keep adding up wrongs. God doesn't do it to you, so you best not do it to others. That's not loving. Loving others actually is much more about me than about other people. So I can love my family, my friends, and even strangers. I can love new acquaintances. I could love my employees or my boss or even my enemies. You see, when we shout love others as our mission, it's true for every one of those persons that I just mentioned. Regardless if they're good enough or if they deserve it. So we don't only love people who are lovable. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what our mission statement as a church is, just to love the lovable or love the people we like or love the people we connect to or love the people that we know. It's not that. It's to love others. That's all the others. And it's not because they deserve it or because they're nice. It's because Jesus first loved us, just like Jesus. See, in Romans, Paul records, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're called to love as Jesus loved. When getting literally crucified, he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The very people who were killing him, those whose sins he was forgiving by dying, he says, God, they don't know what they're doing. I'm giving love to them. So we too ought to love our enemies. But if I'm called to love my enemies, how much more my friends and family? Yes, even more so. Love genuinely and wholeheartedly even if your teenager is giving you a ton of attitude. And on the flip side, teenagers love your parents even when they're nagging again and they're trying to get all up in your business, trying to get on your case all the time. Parents love patiently when your toddlers are driving you crazy and you can't play the same game one more time, Daddy. You just can't. But love patiently. Go ahead and do it. Love hopefully when your friend is worrying about this virus or life or the future or money or love hopefully. Love when things are going right and love when things are going left. Like our church's lifelong enduring goal is to love God and love others. We do this as individuals, but we aren't doing it alone. We desire this in our lives, but also in the lives of the church. We are on this journey together. So let's strive to get there, to continue in this direction, to love God and love others. Let's end the sermon today with our normal beginning. Okay, so we're going to do our shout out again. So I'd like everybody to shout out right there at home. Come on, 100%. Ready? What do we do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Let's sing with us right now. Woo!